Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Dr. Shantanu Agrawal, Deputy Administrator and Director of the Center for Program Integrity within the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. Also joining our conversation from IBM is Tim Stitely. So, Doctor, how will the movement to payment for quality outcomes versus fee-for-service impact fraud prevention?
That's a great question. And let me start by saying I think the shift from the current fee-for-service system to one that really prioritizes quality outcomes and value is absolutely the right shift. It's the right for many, many reasons beyond just program integrity. It's really right for American healthcare. I think it's right for patients and ultimately right for providers. I think what the shift really accomplishes is that it de-emphasizes the specific procedures, the diagnostics, the sheer volume of services that are provided, and starts asking the question that, frankly, patients care about a lot more, which is, what am I getting for those services? How is it helping to preserve or improve my health? So I'm very optimistic that this shift will help us move away from certain incentive misalignments in fee-for-service. So right now, as a physician, I'm incentivized to do more, right? To perform more tests, to perform more procedures. And instead, I will be incentivized to ask, well, how will this test that I'm thinking of doing really benefit my patient? How will the CAT scan help my patient? How will a particular procedure, surgery, whatever the case may be, help my patient? And I'll be paid accordingly. I'll be paid to do the right thing as opposed to paid to do just more things. So that, I think, is an enormous cultural shift, mindset shift in healthcare. But I think what it also does is, because a lot of payment reform places more of the financial decision-making, but also financial risk on the provider side of the house, it, as I mentioned earlier, kind of makes us all aware of where healthcare costs and inefficiencies are. It incentivizes providers to care more about that, to get into the data and actually cut out unnecessary costs. I can tell you I've experienced this directly. Prior to coming into this role, I worked for a full risk delivery system where we offered, it was a physician-led organization, we offered care directly in the outpatient setting, but we were responsible financially for all of the care that a patient, one of our patients got, both inpatient and outpatient. So we were fully full-risk capitated model. And I can tell you that working in a model like that, physicians cared more about the data. They wanted to know where expenditures were that weren't helping their patients, because not only was it not helping their patients, and physicians fundamentally care about quality, we also cared financially that unnecessary things not be done. So it was, it kind of did cause a shift in thinking. It caused us to want to be more concerned about the data, more concerned about the full breadth of care that our patients were being exposed to, which I think has positive effects in cutting down unnecessary things, say unnecessary exposure to radiation from tests that aren't needed or won't lead to good answers for the patient, and unnecessary procedures. So I've seen this work very well, and I think payment shifts will encourage exactly the right kind of thinking.
I know in CPI, one of the biggest moves forward is bringing all program integrity together as one at CMS. And, you know, unifying program integrity across Medicare and Medicaid certainly provides you with some steep challenges. What are some of the top challenges you're facing?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we've definitely made progress in this area by sharing more data, which I alluded to earlier, sharing information about vulnerabilities, but also when we take an administrative action against a provider or in a particular area, we share that more now between Medicare and Medicaid than we probably ever have. I think the remaining challenges are threefold. One is policy variation. So understandably, you know, Medicaid is a state-run program. There's 56 different Medicaid programs, essentially. And there's important policy variation between those Medicaid programs that we, as more of a national or federal resource, have to learn and get into the details on, because it really definitely affects program integrity, where costs are. So that kind of policy variability within Medicaid, but then also between Medicare and Medicaid, is a challenge or an issue that we work every day in and around and against in order to try to do our work. Second is, I think, a data issue. So I mentioned earlier, data is the lifeblood of our work, given the size of these programs. And because we don't pay Medicaid claims directly, our access to real-time Medicaid data is highly limited. This is not unknown to the agency, obviously, and it affects a lot of different parts of the agency. So even if it's coordination of benefits for our duals population, if it's quality-based or safety-based programs, quality measurement, and program integrity, or even all the work around payment innovation and payment reform, all of these things are affected by the lack of real-time Medicaid data. So this is something that the agency is actively investing in order to get better data reported to us by the states so that we can engage in that deliberation with the states. They obviously have access to their own data, but they don't have access even to each other's data. And so by getting that data distributed more freely and nationally, I think it'll give us the right insights and allow for more of that cooperation that needs to occur.
So using the classic people, process, technology paradigm, which of these aspects or which one of these aspects provides the largest impact on fraud prevention and which holds the biggest challenge for program integrity efforts?
Right. As far as where the value comes from, it's really all of them. So we did not have a lot of investment prior to the ACA and other recent pieces of legislation in the technology. So there's been a lot of investment in technology, and that's been very important for handling the volume of the system that we're in and encouraging the right preventive efforts. But fundamentally, this is sort of a technology plus person issue. We don't want to take haphazard actions that place burden on providers, that deny claims that ought to be paid. And so we often couple, and every day couple, the technology with people to make sure that there's manual work happening, that there's field activity and field intelligence that we're engaged in. And collecting that can benefit the technology and also, you know, just benefit our other processes. So these things really, the people and the systems, the analytics, the fancy technology have to work together to really have the greatest impact. There's just no way to separate them without having adverse consequences or without generating inefficiencies.
So what advice would you give someone who's thinking about a career in medicine or public service or both?
Yeah, that's a great question. So clearly, I've gone down a particular pathway. You know, I'll just be upfront that I have biases, right? So I'm a physician, and I've obviously chosen a career here at CMS and in the public service. So I'll lay my bias on the table, which is that public service really matters. I think it's extremely important for the nation. It's important for the health of the nation. And it matters to me personally for a multitude of reasons. But part of them is, you know, I'm an immigrant. I emigrated to this country with my parents, and, you know, my vision of public service is really, really wrapped up with giving back to a country that's given me and my family a lot. So it was never an option for me not to be in public service. I would always go, I think, between the public and private sectors, but that public service component to it, which, quite frankly, I think public service happens in the private sector as well. It's your approach to your profession, your approach to your work. For me, that was just really important. What I would tell other physicians in particular is that their involvement in public service is vital. You know, I think getting involved in health policy, whether it's working directly for the federal government or not, working in agencies like CMS or not, or the VA, or really anywhere else where health policy and medicine are critical activities, I think physicians provide a really necessary perspective, an inherently patient-centered perspective, one focused on, again, this is really rooted in the physicians that have trained me, that I've had the opportunity to interact with, but a point of view just very centered on innovation and offering the best possible care in our system. That vantage point should never be lost from the dialogue, right? It's very important for people who are in decision-making roles to have access to that clinical insight so that we are always focused on the thing that matters most, which is the patient, the beneficiary. I think if we keep that focus every day, it fine-tunes our work. It sort of dispels some of the fog that can exist in these kinds of decisions because we will be focused on the only thing that really matters.
Mm-hmm. Well, Dr. Agarwal, I want to thank you for being here today. This has been a very enlightening conversation. But more importantly, Tim and I would like to thank you for your dedicated service to the country.
Thank you. I really enjoyed the experience, and dedication to the country is not hard. There's just lots of really great stuff that I think is possible through these agencies. So thank you.
This has been the Business of Government Hour, a conversation with Dr. Shantanu Agarwal, Deputy Administrator and Director for the Center for Program Integrity within CMS. My co-host from IBM has been Tim Stitely. Be sure to join us next week for another informative, insightful, and in-depth conversation on improving government effectiveness. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Michael Keegan. Thanks for joining us.
This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Until next week, it's businessofgovernment.org.